5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 6, episode 45, and I have had a wonderful day of watching tons and tons of television because I'm on vacation, and so I'm alternating my time between watching television and feeding our lovely son, Gilbert, and having a great time with that as well. But there's a lot to talk about tonight on the show. We have a guest, and we'll be bringing him on very, very shortly. He's a comedian who, a local guy, pretty much, who's made it pretty big. But first of all, I want to thank Jeff, Steph, and Dustin for the great job on our latest Radio Labyrinth Presents interview. So good job on that, guys.
Yeah, that was fun. Kind of sucked getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, but
bitch. No, he seemed to have a very, very good time with you guys, and I sat and watched it. I think the editing was great. Scott Ryan is the actor's name from the show Mr. In-Between, which is on FX and is wrapping up its third season, and that'll be the end of the series, right?
Yeah, that's the final season.
Yeah, third and final season. But wow, what a great show. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, I came to it late. I actually watched the first season, I think, over a year ago, and then forgot I'd watched it, and so I rewatched it, and now I'm midway through season 2. But again, I'm watching so much stuff that I'm just sampling here and there. Glad to be back into the swing of things. What?
You're not fired then?
Fired? No. If you don't believe nasty rumors that you see on the internet, I think somebody was trolling the 2+2=4, which is the super secret subgroup of, well, it's not very secret, of the Von Hessler Doctrine. It's much like the Radio Labyrinth Radio Shack, which is curated by Dustin, but Dustin actually pays attention, unlike the people who are supposed to curate that page.
Yeah, we have some of those members in the Radio Shack as well.
Oh, I know. It's very much a shared audience. Mm-hmm. I think that most people who listen to Radio Labyrinth probably listen to the Doctrine as well, but there are some that maybe have discovered us, especially on YouTube. And so again, great job with the YouTube page. We may have something for you guys this coming Wednesday as well. We've got interviews lined up. I know Jeff, everybody's working really hard on getting some interviews lined up. I've got two that we're working on. I don't want to spoil anything. One is he's a that guy, and you'll know him when you see him. He's a very busy working actor that you've seen in a lot of things, plenty of them shot here. And then we have a cast member of a reality show that we all watch who has said that she is available. And so we're working on that too. But tonight's guest will be coming up in a second. His name is Caleb Sinan, a comedian, and we're going to talk to him, see what it's like. I don't know, being back on the road now that COVID is mostly over, except for all the new ones they're talking about constantly in the news. I want to wish a happy birthday to a friend of ours, a friend of Jeff's and mine from Pennsylvania, guy turning 50 years old. Today is his birthday as we record this on Wednesday. What is today, the 8th or the 7th? 7th. Yeah. 4, 5, 6. Yeah. 7th. Huh? I don't even remember the day of the week, but, or the date of the month, but yeah, he's turning 50 years old today, July 7th. Happy birthday, Nick. You'll be hearing this on Saturday or Sunday, whenever you listen to it, but it's always great to be in that, that 50 club, right, Jeff?
He's the last of our crew to turn 50.
That's right. That's right. Oh my God. Yeah. Matt, the guy who lives in Korea, our friend Matt, he turned 50 3 days after I did. And so, yeah, we're all old now. Jeff will be 52 this year, you old fuck.
Yep. If I make it that long.
Oh, God. Don't say Stephanie's not with us. Speaking of somebody in mortal danger, Stephanie is not with us tonight because she is in Detroit visiting family. And I'm sure she's properly sedated on some sort of medication.
She's got to be sick of me texting her shit from, I think you should leave with Tim Robinson. That's all I've been doing for the last like 24 hours straight. Just memes and shit.
I watched the first episode of the second season this morning and I almost shit myself. I was laughing so hard because I have a very weak bowels.
If they cancel Coffin Drops, Coffin Flops, I'm going to fucking kill somebody.
That was a funny. Don't spoil it. If you have never seen this show and you're, listen, if you're Gen X and you're worried about millennial comedy, don't be, because this is to me, this is the next iteration of Mr. Show in my head. You know, it's very, you can tell a lot of the inspiration that he has. I'm assuming that Bob Odenkirk is somehow involved with this show.
Yeah, he shows up in one of the episodes.
I saw that one. It was great. It was a very funny skit or segment or whatever you want to call it, sketch. But check it out. It's called I Think You Should Leave.
With Tim Robinson. Yeah, it's on Netflix. Season 2.
Yeah, season 2. Check out season 1. It's a very funny show. And it's very accessible to a wide audience. I know this because my wife, Caitlin, who doesn't normally watch that kind of stupid shit that I watch, she enjoyed the first season. So. Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right? Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah. Oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's kind of, oh, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call home. And home is where you hang your pizza. You see, I'm a little bit tired, but you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there if you live in the Atlanta area. And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe I'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros, generously topped pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine-in and takeout available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online at atlantapizzaeuro.com and find them on Facebook where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is as a class act dude. We love him and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together. And we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go out into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it in my house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No. So, guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Joining us tonight on Radio Labyrinth as we record, and of course you're seeing this on the weekend or listening to it, Caleb Sinan, who is a comedian. He has been on Last Comic Standing, Bill Burr's The Ringers, Conan, been on there a couple of times, and The Movie Show. You can find out all about him, get all of his social media and all that at Caleb Sinan. That's CalebSinan.com. I'm very impressed by that big check.
Well, what's really funny is it's just I had to put something on my walls because my girlfriend was worried about me. And one of the only things I have is I did a sketch where I did a fake special.
Uh-huh.
And where I told one joke and the crowd laughed for 59 minutes. And one of the things was while they were laughing, they presented me with a giant check. So it's not a real check. It's a check for chicken wings is what it says on the line.
Okay.
So... yeah, I'm really proud of it, and that's what comedy's gotten me, is a lot of chicken wings, and it's very accurate.
bring that thing into Buffalo Wild Wings and see if they'll honor it.
Honestly, I'm a fan of Buffalo Wild Wings. It's pretty on brand for them to accept giant checks. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try it and film it. I'll send it in.
What Sandler movie is it that he keeps getting the big checks and he insists on getting them no matter how shitty they are? Is that his second one, a golf movie?
Happy Gilmore. That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it happens when you get old, you forget. You know, even the most mundane things that you loved in the 90s, you forget that because you're old.
Oh, well, I'm not old, but I never knew anything. So I never, I'd forget stuff when I was six. Brand new, fresh brain. I couldn't remember nothing.
Well, so you are, Caleb, from the state of Georgia, I believe.
Yes. Yes. One of the top 45 states. Easy.
Yeah, there's got to be five that are worse.
For sure. We all know which ones they are.
Yeah, they all start with A's. I was trying to remember the name of the town, but I had to look at I'm right about that.
Royston.
Royston. Oh, yeah.
The Royston, Georgia. And how does that fit into the pop culture world in so much as I was watching one of your stand up routines and I did not know that this was the official town. So this is the town where they shot the movie Deliverance.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is not great for getting tourists, or at least not getting tourists in a good mood. Like you're getting the people who are like, ooh, let's see if it's real. Like it's like a haunted house vibe, I think. But yeah, not a lot.
You might get ass raped every time you go there. We have a great
log ride.
We have a great log ride. We'll bend you over.
But yeah, it's frightening.
It's appropriate to bring up Deliverance, though, because I'm sure the town was very upset by the passing of Ned Beatty a couple of weeks ago.
I'm sure they were as upset as they are about. I doubt they know, honestly. I bet if you said that, they wouldn't. They'd be like, "Oh, that was an actor." I bet they thought it was like a documentary. They'd be like, "I thought he's been dead."
Damn, I thought they killed him. Is
he had a real pretty mouth.
Is Royston the town where the banjo guy lived and worked at the Walmart? I know the kid that played the banjo in Deliverance.
I think probably everyone in that whole movie worked in Royston for some amount of time. But I don't know. I need to do more research. That's the thing. I don't research my bits very much. I think it takes away from the – none of them are that accurate.
Well, it was a funny bit, so I enjoyed it.
Thanks, man.
Also, the town of Royston, known as being the home of the notorious Major League Baseball legend, Hall of Famer, Ty Cobb.
Yeah, Ty Cobb.
I'm surprised he hasn't been canceled yet. He's pretty problematic dude to look into the past.
Well, he would have got, I guess it was pre-cancel culture. They tried. They were writing about him in the paper. They'd be like, wow, this guy's racist. And he'd he'd be like, uh-huh. Like, that was back before people said they weren't. He'd go, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
I am.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I'm a baseball player. I'm racist.
Can't let them into our league.
Right.
Because they'll be better than us. People are shocked that a white guy from Georgia in the 20s would be racist.
Right. He was just the one saying it. I'm sure the other players weren't like, whoa. I bet they were just like, yeah, all right. Tazzle, he's really saying it.
But he was. And it's weird that you have people that I grew up with, like my grandparents and in that generation, they revered Ty Cobb. And they still talk about him, you know, like he's Reggie Jackson, which is more in my era, or like Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
This guy is 80, almost 100 years ago. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. If you still want to cancel Ty Cobb, I will join your group. Not yours. I know you're not running anything like that. But
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really know what they do. What do they take his stats down? I mean, they should take him down anyway. He was playing in the white league against old white dudes. Who are all chewing tobacco and drinking beer before the game, and like no one knew vegetables were good for you. Like
Babe Ruth.
They should all have asterisks. Yeah.
Babe Ruth, who hit 713 home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And doesn't remember any of them. He was hammered the whole time.
Drunk, fat, didn't really, I mean, whatever. Good job, Babe Ruth. I think, yes, we need to.
You got to take that salad away from Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first baseball commissioner was from Georgia, too. Kennesaw Landis was, I don't know his real name, but he was called Kennesaw Mountain Landis. That was his nickname. Also,
a
very racist fella.
I bet. You know, it seems like that was, it seems like almost everyone was racist except like Abraham Lincoln for like 10,000 years. No one even tried not to be. And he was like, he was woke for then, but I'm sure if we were hanging out drinking with Lincoln now, he'd be saying stuff. We'd be like, whoa, buddy. Whoa.
I'm not saying that they should be slaves, but I don't consider them to be equal.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That was a good Lincoln impression. That really sounded.
He was shrill, I heard.
Yeah.
Spoke like this.
I don't know.
Well, hey, our co-host, Steph, remembers you from.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Back at working at the Relapse, like 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Relapse. Mm-hmm. So, no theater's ever closed more often than Relapse. Closed like every 6 weeks.
I think we were the ones that put them out of business, I think. We did a live show there, and then like, they closed like the next day.
That's old Relapse.
She put a few questions in the document that she wanted us to ask you, like who from your class has made it in comedy? Are you the only one from your class of comics that's made it this far?
No, I mean, I feel like my class was like guys like Rob Hayes and Noah Garden-Schwartz and Dulce Sloan and Ismail Lutfi. And there was a time in Atlanta where it was like the best, everybody was good. Like yeah. Clayton English was like ahead of me and Andy Samford and those guys. But I mean, all of them are doing great now. So it's
Andy did really well, didn't he? He ended up doing, he does touring still, correct?
Yeah, honestly, I'm probably doing the worst out of all that crop. I mean, there's people who quit, who I guess I'm doing better than, but maybe not. They all own houses now. They quit comedy and they got a house and a life.
Is he still doing comedy? You know?
Yeah, Dave's doing great. Atlanta had a great, great scene. At the time, I just thought it was normal. And then I'm like, oh, that was really a cool time with a lot of really good folks. But yeah, they were all funny.
Yeah, we used to have the Beards of Comedy on my old radio show.
Yeah.
As my host now, the guy I work with, Eric, calls it the Funky Bunch, but it was the regular guy show, and we would have Andy and Dave on quite a bit, both very, very funny men.
They're the best.
You're right. The Relapse and the Laughing Skull, when the Laughing Skull opened up, it's been a while now, but comedy in Midtown started to really take off, and it was like everywhere 10, 12 years ago, and I don't know if it's still going on. I imagine the pandemic put a damper on that, but maybe it's back.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it is. I don't know. I'll have to go back to Atlanta and see. But yeah, it was awesome. It was like a really, really cool time. And I'm sure it'll be back and cool with a bunch of new young kids. But yeah, that was the coolest time ever. And I was just an idiot. It's like 19. I was just happy to be like, I get free beer at shows. Like it was just, I couldn't believe how lucky I was. And now I'm like, wow.
And you look back and you go, those young people aren't as funny as we are.
Oh, no, they're way funnier. They really scare me.
They do.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of younger people in the radio business and funny people who are, hey, that guy ain't good. Don't give him a job. Generation Alpha or no? What are they called?
Is it Z? Z?
Zennials or Z? I don't know. I don't.
Something.
That stuff's
up to me, but yeah, they're really funny. And old people are fun. Everybody's funny except me. And me and my friends are the worst one. Everybody else is like, man. I'm like, I watch old comics. I'm like, man, they're so funny.
So are you living in L.A. now?
Yeah, L.A. It's finally back open, so it's finally fun again, which is nice.
Yeah, are you able to get up and do any shows?
Yeah, now it's honestly a little too... I got so used to this sitting in this chair and just reading comic books and having fun, and I finally figured out how to have fun alone, and now I'm, like, busy again. I hate it. I kind of... You know, I'm like, I want a whole day of nothing again. I forgot
how
nice that
is. Didn't
I have
fun alone before that?
Not really. I would just, I was so used to hanging out at a comedy club every night. I was like, that'll be what I do. And now I'm like, man, it's weird to be busy every day. I'm like, shit, this is what life is? I hate being busy. I want to go back to maybe 2 days of work a week is what I'd like.
Are you doing TV? Do you go out on auditions? Are you interested in being an actor?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not real good at it, but every once in a while, I'll get something. I'll kind of walk into something, but yeah.
You have a sitcom idea?
Oh, yeah. I've got a bunch. Yeah. But turns out the ones they get, they're just like, you just have one that's already been had. That's the best idea is when you go, what about Everybody Loves Raymond, but it's me, and then that gets made. So I think that's what I'm going to pitch next time. I'll stop pitching. I'll just go, what about me? I do that.
What if we do Titus, but it's Bernie Mac?
Yeah.
Same show.
Honestly, that I would buy that. If I owned a network, I'd buy that show.
No, it happened. And it's unfortunate, though, that he passed away. But it, yeah. I have to say, though, Bernie Mac was the version with Bernie Mac was funnier than me.
Well, Bernie Mac's like the funniest guy who's ever lived. So funny.
He was very, very funny. Our movie theaters, everything's open back up in LA now. You can go out.
Yeah, it's I keep forgetting. Like the other night, I was me and my girlfriend. I was like, "What do you want to do?" And she's like, "Well, we could watch The Godfather." And I was like, "Oh, good idea." And then I was like, "Wait a minute, are bars? Let's go to a bar." And she was like, "Oh yeah, because you can just walk around and walk into a place, no mask." And I'm like, "It's weird to get back in that habit, but it's really fun. I love bars."
Yeah, we're gonna have a big election there soon too.
Oh yeah, God.
I don't know anything
about that guy. He gave us all $600 yesterday, which was weird. I guess I didn't even know that was legal. You could be in an election and just give everybody money.
Don't forget about his money.
Yeah, so I was like, hell yeah. But yeah, everybody's mad at him. He went to that restaurant, and nobody likes that.
If you're rich and powerful and you run the state, cut the guy some slack. That's what I say.
But the funniest thing is he went like three times. Like he got in the picture and everybody was like, "Oh, what a hypocrite." And then he just went again like 2 days later. And they were like, "Dude, you gotta stop going to that restaurant." They must have really good food, but he could not stop going.
He just wears the same suit over and over again, and that way he can just say it's the same time.
No, it was, and then he's like, he didn't even look like cautious. Like he was just big smile, like doing shots. He's like, "I love this place," like every time. He didn't even try to like wear a mask at least so they don't. You can say it wasn't you, but he just kept going back. I couldn't believe it.
Were you sad to see Conan go off the air?
Oh, that was very sad. No one has ever switched job. I mean, this poor guy. He's had like 35 jobs in comedy. When he does great, he gets fired. When he does bad, he gets fired. It doesn't matter. Like he's the funniest guy in the world, and he can't have a steady job for some reason. But it was great. I love the episode, and I hope he's probably just going to do that travel show now or something. But, especially for me, I was like, this is the only show that books me over and over again. So I was like, shit, if he goes off the air, what am I going
to
do?
He won't lack for things to do. He's too talented. He's too good of a writer.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, he won't lack. And besides that whole game now, aside from maybe, you know, talk show, I mean, for comedians and stuff, you can still get your face and name and your bits out there. But I don't know anybody that watches late night television in a way that we used to watch it. Like, oh, wait, Letterman's on. Let's all gather around, turn on Letterman, or Conan is on. Let's watch Conan at 12:30 at night. I don't know that still exists.
It's all trying to make viral YouTube clips.
Right, right. Yeah. So weird. It's just like, to me, I mean, I guess I like the new way of things or whatever, but it's just like, everyone just has to do everything. It's like, no, you got to shoot your own stuff, start your own podcast. You got to write your own. And I was just like, what? Why do I have to do more? And it's just like at the grocery store where it's like, I guess I'll pick it out, check it out, bag it up. Just they make you do everything now.
Subscribe.
And it's like, yeah. And like, if you want a TV show, they're like, have you already made a TV show by yourself first? And you're like, what? I thought you gave me a show. And they're like, no, we hope you already have one. It's like,
yeah, we're ready to buy whatever you've made and produced.
Right.
Hired everyone. And everything's subscription based. Clothing.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't think I would be able to subscribe to a company. You know, here's a shirt that I'm going to wear and then mail back. And then someone else is going to wear it. I don't know that I'd
do. Oh, yeah. No. No, I don't want to wear clothing. You're like, what if this guy was dead? I don't want that. I want.
I choked in it. So. What's left in LA as far as like a late night or a talk show that you could go on, like a traditional type of thing? Is there anything out there that you would be able to do?
There's Jimmy Kimmel and James Corden are out here. Mm-hmm. And probably some other ones. I don't know. I should be keeping up more with it. But the last year, I've just been sitting around doing nothing. I'm literally every day I wake up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a comedian. Oh, man, I got to see where to – I got to go to work. So it's there's still stuff to do. It's just – everything's still kind of slow going. So not a lot of comics have been on Jimmy Kimmel and James Corden recently.
Now, but, during the pandemic, did you work any at all? Did you do any of those drive-in gigs?
Yeah. Those suck. Those are, I mean, people were like, the love of the game. And I'm like, this game sucks. It makes me sad. People are honking. They go, no, that's good. And I go, yeah, well, 30 years of my life, honks have been bad. And I don't like it. I don't like hearing it. And I did them. But, I mean, I'm glad there was something to do so we didn't all go nuts. But, yeah, I like regular. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I like a nice microphone in a comedy club. And it makes me feel good. But, yeah, those drive-ins were tough. They made me real, real sad.
I bought a couple of... just to support comics that I really, really like, I paid for a couple of, you know, they're in their house or they're in their garage, and there's somebody running the Zoom channel. And just for comedians I really liked it, even those were tough to make it through. I mean, they're still funny, but if there's no crowd around you or you're not looking at a crowd reacting, it's really difficult, I think.
I ordered one of those Dr. Katz show Zooms where he has the comedians on, and just over Zoom, it was not... That nobody was like running it, and it was not not scripted, not organized, and it just dragged and dragged and dragged, and like the comedians are trying to be funny, but it was just so difficult over Zoom.
Gilbert and Jeffrey, what's his face, the roast guy, I can't think right now. The one that they did together was very funny, I thought, because they were just insulting each other.
Oh yeah, well that's all you feel like doing when you're like. It's so, you feel so ridiculous in the first place. So you're a little angry, but then you got to be silly. Like every comic I'd see was doing like props and doing a flip and like rowing into the frame and then rowing out. Like it turned everybody into this weird, silly thing. I don't know, but it was a fun little thing. But yeah, they were tough. And then just people, you didn't even have their mics on. You couldn't tell if you're getting any laughs sometimes. And just, it really, making your confidence where you're like, was I ever good at this? What is comedy? What's happening? But there's a way to make them fun sometimes. Like there are a couple that had a good setup, but yeah, every time I did one, I'd get my friends who'd be like, yeah, we watched you on Zoom, watched your Zoom thing. And I go, oh, and they go, how do you feel like it went? And I'd be like, oh, that means it was really bad. No one ever says, how do you feel like it went? It's never good.
So when do you think you'll make it back to Georgia?
Oh, well, probably pretty soon. Honestly, I think I'm going to Georgia in like a month or like a few weeks. I don't know. All time means nothing anymore. But I think it. Yeah, yeah. Actually, the end of this month, I'm going to Georgia on the 27th at the Aurora. The Aurora Theater's putting on shows at a brewery beer garden thing. And then I'm doing a show in Athens at Flicker Theater. Yeah, that's the end of this month. Okay. Wow. And then I'm doing a show in Savannah. So I'm all. Wow, I should know more where I am. But yeah, that'll be fun.
And you have a new album, comedy album.
Yeah, you're going out to support your new album, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Check it out. It's Funny for a Man. I Googled it. I was like, surely someone's had this title before. But no, they had. So I was like, I got to put it out quick before somebody else takes that title. But yeah, that was super fun. And I hate the sound of my voice. I had to edit that whole thing. And a real nightmare.
Kidding yourself?
Yeah, I mean, well, I use the Helium has the label and everything, but I was like, if I do an album, and I love comedy. All my friends have albums. Every comedian ever has an album. And you listen to them and you go, wow, this is the worst I've ever heard them do. Why did they put this out? I heard them do better than this 2 nights ago. What the hell? So I was like, I want to do 7 shows. I want to take the best take of each joke, blend them together, and I don't want it to be my people, anyone who's heard my jokes. I want it to be a fresh crowd each time and, you know, open for someone else so that it's their crowd. And I had all these things I wanted to do because I hate the idea of putting out something that really sucked. Because most comedy albums really are quite bad. So
a lot of them are. Even Carlin had a bad album. You know, Carlin put out one album where he didn't mix in the crowd. So it's just him doing and you can vaguely sense that there might be an audience there. You know there is. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's just reading his jokes into a microphone. In a Did you record the material this year or 2019?
This was this year, February, in Raleigh. So it went great, and I'm really excited about it. I think my parents are going to be a little pissed, but that's going to happen no matter what.
I want that new house after you get the TV gig. So.
Yeah, my mom keeps bringing up that house. I don't know how to tell her. It's like, not only you're not getting a house, I'm not getting a house. None of us are getting a house. So I hope you like these jokes.
Get her some chicken wings.
Yeah, I could do that. I can get her chicken wings. I can be like, if you would like a hoodie from Comedy Works, I can hook one of those up for you. But I don't have much else to offer, really.
Where can we get funny?
Yeah, tell everybody where they can find it.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out on Bandcamp. There's a links on my Instagram and Twitter and stuff. iTunes, Apple Music. I don't even know what that is, but you can do that. Spotify, if you don't have any money. But if you got a couple bucks, download it on Apple, and that helps with the charts. I can be number one for 30 minutes, and I'll send that to my parents, a little poster of me being number one briefly.
If somebody's putting out a comedy record and you like them, pay for it and get it. But not even for the money, but to get it up there in the charts so people are talking about it.
Yeah, it really helps.
You know, I don't know how much you make off of it, but it's important. I mean, comics and creators that are doing things that make you laugh, support them, give them some money. And that's my philosophy about the whole
Absolutely. Thing. Yeah, I think it really helps. And it makes them so happy. Like, people can't. I'll probably know everyone who bought this. I'll be able to see it, and I'll be like, oh, I know them all. If you buy it, I'll know, and it'll make me very happy. And next time I see him, I'm like, thanks for that. Like, you can't have that with Kevin Hart. He's not going to know. But I'm like a mayor of a small town. I'll, like, shake your hand and thank you.
I promise not to steal it. I promise that I will pay for it.
Hey, thank you.
It comes out on July 16th.
So yeah, July 16th. But you can pre-order it now, and that's what really helps. Because then it looks like super impressive on the first day. Everybody's like, whoa. So the pre-order's nice. And then you don't even have to think about it. It'll just download by itself.
Anything else you'd like to promote? Social media, your website, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got kicked off Twitter for impersonating Joe Biden. It was really fun. I thought it was legal, but apparently that's against all their rules.
Wait a minute. You changed your name to...
I changed my name to Joe Biden. I changed my picture to Joe Biden. I just started tweeting things that I thought were really funny, and they banned me permanently. So I have a new Twitter.
Oh, good.
I thought it was a lot of fun. So I just do it all the time. I love making fake stuff. I used to do it with Trump, and then I think they changed the rules because of all election stuff. People just didn't want misinformation. And boy, was I putting it out there. I was putting a lot of misinformation out there. I thought it was funny misinformation.
Probably was. Nobody
had humor in it. But it wasn't even mean stuff. It'd be like, hey, it's me, Joe, and America has a car, and what we need is a truck. It was like stuff that sounded like it was kind of inspirational, but it didn't really make a lot of sense. And so they banned me. But now it's at Dumb Caleb, so follow me again. I'm trying to get more followers because no one knows where my account is anymore.
As fake Joe Biden is probably closer to what he would tweet were he
right.
pulling it. Unlike the last president who's like, I'm sitting on the toilet, fuck all of you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it was done with love. I wasn't malicious, but boy, were they mad. They didn't like that at all.
No. Well, there's a guy on YouTube, Twitter. His name is Barry McCockiner, and you can think about the name, Barry McCockiner. And he keeps going off, but he impersonates sports journalists, and he gets retweeted like all the time, and then they ban him, and then he starts a new one. So, you know, your ban is never permanent unless you're the last president.
Hey, yeah, I think it's just me and him because I've probably sent 100 emails to Twitter and they're like, never, we will never give your account back. And I'm like, come on. And they're like, no. And I'm like, I didn't mean it. I've sent them so many, like the least professional emails where someone had to read it and go, did he just say I didn't mean it? But yeah, I was just, I'm like, I'm a comedian. I'm having fun.
No. You're just don't be mean. No, you weren't being mean. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah, it wasn't that mean. I guess someone could have seen it and been like, whoa, Biden's crazy. But I'm like, yeah, but it says comedian in the thing, and it's my name. Like, it's at Caleb Sinan. It says comedian. It's all fake. But yeah, they said you couldn't change your picture to the guy. And I was like, come on.
Well, everybody follow your new account and don't repeat it.
Follow the new account. I will play by the rules as much as I can. And pre-order that album. And look, if you're broke, look, I know how it feels. Just if you want to do that, just stream it on Spotify like all day while you're at work. Just have it going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And leave me a review. Like, give me 5 stars or something. That'll still help.
And then listen to Joe Rogan for 4 hours. And,
listen, yeah. You're going to do that anyway, but that'll help me. Wow. That's wild to think about. That's wild to think about.
So
crazy thing, man.
Like,
So like Bruce Lee's daughters. Wow, she got mad. What was that? What was
that? She got mad, okay? Like she's a bit like I care what she thinks, but everybody else, fuck you.
Whoa! That's a really good Tarantino.
Oh, thank you. I just finished listening to it. Caleb, thank you for coming on with us tonight, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is great. Thank you guys. This is the best day of my life. So thanks for having me on.
For coming on the show? Oh, that makes me.
Yeah.
No, seriously, we appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, let's thank another one of our amazing, awesome Radio Labyrinth sponsors. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect item to enhance your celebration, graduation, Father's Day is coming up or just went by. There's other holidays coming up or just went by. Check out Cardstock Creation Company. That is run by Lindsay Thomas. And you can find her Etsy page at etsy.com/shop/cardstockcreation CO. I'm sure if you just put in Cardstock Creation CO, you'll find it. We'll also put a link in the show notes, both on YouTube and in the RSS feed. Listen, if you need an advent calendar, a cake topper, doggy clothes, I mean, they got everything, jewelry, koozies, milestone banners, birthday banners, confettis, cupcake toppers, and more. Again, Cardstock Creation Code. Steph, do you need any doggy clothes?
Always. I always need doggy clothes.
Okay.
And I live on Etsy.
I live on Etsy too. A man cannot live on Etsy alone, though. Sometimes you need eBay to. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need cupcake toppers like you wouldn't believe. So that's why I'm going to check out Cardstock Creation Co. on Etsy.
And we're back.
That was a long one. And we're back. That was fun, man. What a great guy. Funny comedian.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, he and Steph were just little pup comedians back in the day.
Now, I have to say, Steph's stand-up routines, if you can find them, I don't know if they're out there anymore, but she was fucking funny. She's still funny, but I mean, her stand-up bits were very, very well done and crafted well. I just think probably, well, she can explain why she didn't do it anymore. I mean, for lack of confidence or anything, she was good. She was very good at it. So.
Maybe we can talk her into putting them, I can get them put on the channel.
If you do that, I'll give you $50. Because they're very funny, though. I mean, she was hilarious. Anyway, welcome back. You know, we've been doing this thing where we have guests once a week or a special type of content or whatever. And I would like to keep doing that. And we're going to get a bunch of stuff in the hopper that might not necessarily be a guest. But Dustin put up a poll on the Radio Shack about what movie we should review next. And I think the way I did it with Independence Day, I had all these, and I get down on myself for this, but I had all these fancy ideas of da-da-da, what could I do, da-da-da, and we just ended up talking about it and more me bitching about the sequel.
And all the good articles about it came out like 2 days after we recorded the podcast.
Yeah, Jeff found this one with all these cool little things, but so what we want to do, and thank you for doing this, Dustin, is putting a poll up of a film you'd like us to review. And the movie that's leading would be Midnight Run, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much a toss up between Midnight Run and Snatch right now.
Well, I've only seen Snatch once, so that would be good to have a review of that. I've seen Midnight Run 100 times and I would watch it again anytime.
See, I'm completely the opposite. I've seen Snatch over 100 times.
Really?
I've seen Midnight Run once.
You know, the one and only time I watched Snatch, I had to pause it and turn on the closed captioning. Yeah,
I had to have closed captioning too.
Oh, his pikey accent.
Yeah. But that's down the road. I would really like to do Midnight Run, but if you want to go there and vote, we'll keep it up a little bit longer, right? Or unless it's expired.
Yeah, we can keep it up. I'm not putting a cap on it, so they can put whatever they like in there. I'd prefer not to have the Serbian film on there, but
you mean a Serbian film?
A Serbian film, yeah.
No one even knows what that is except for you and me.
It's funny. Yeah. It started making its way on YouTube. People have started putting it in like what are the top five worst movies you'd ever want to watch or get caught watching? And I was like, yeah, that's one.
Yeah, I can't watch it now, especially now that I have a son.
Yeah.
Never want to see that movie again, ever.
No,
I didn't even want to watch it when I did, but it made me laugh.
Yeah, it was kind of like when they used, somebody used to go to the video store and they'd come back with faces of death and for a birthday sleepover or something.
I think with a Serbian film, which is a horror movie, if you're not familiar with it, you can Google it, a Serbian film. Read the Wikipedia article or whatever.
Don't Google it at work.
Yeah, don't Google it at work. Do not watch it.
Yes.
Offended. But I will say this, to me, it is horrible content, okay? And it's gruesome and all of that, and it's porn related. But to me, it's not as bad a premise or even execution-wise as far as film goes as Human Centipede, which I loved. I thought it was hilarious, but it's disgusting. But then you get into it, like the content, and you think of Last House on the Left or I Spit on Your Grave, or these women are brutalized, and then it's okay that they're brutalized because they come back and kill everybody that brutalized them, but you're still seeing the depiction, and it's very violent and very in your face. A Serbian film is, I mean, there's undertones of something else going on besides just the shit that he's doing.
Old Boy was similar in that it has it had the twist at the at the end that movies that really freak you out just watching them, you don't expect them to have like twist endings that are 10 times worse than what you've been watching the entire time. They kind of set a bar for you.
Yeah. But with Old Boy does it without the gratuity.
Old Boy, it just makes you, it makes you relive the entire movie you just watched in your head in the last 15 minutes.
And going, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh no.
Right. Oh God. Oh, we didn't ask. See, okay, here's something. I just saw my notes and we forgot to ask when we do interviews. Now we're going to ask some questions that Steph came up with and I forgot I put them on a different sheet. So I'm not going to.
Our version of the actors of the,
his question. What's your favorite swear word?
What is the grossest city your body has touched as a road comic? Can't do that guy. Who did the best impression of him? I think it was Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell,
yeah. What else do we have? Okay, so hey guys, you just heard a commercial before we came back for one of our sponsors, and or maybe both. I don't know. But anyway, I do want to say if you'd like to be a sponsor, or if you'd just like to sign up to be a Radio Labyrinth producer, or even at a lower tier, please go to patreon.com/TimAndrews, and you'll see all the different levels and all the things that you get. I mean, if you come in as a producer, which is $25 a month, then you get your name read every show, and everybody's name is in the credits, but you get your name read in show, and we will send you a t-shirt, and you can pick that from our store. It's pretty cool to be a producer. We'll send you stickers and all that stuff and buttons. See, I have a bag of them right here, just a bag of stickers and a bag of buttons, and gonna probably do more here coming up in the fall. We're gonna probably do something cool for Dragon Con, and I know Jeff will probably work on some really cool artwork for that. We need, and we've been talking about this for ages, we do need to do something on Patreon, and I don't think it should be based on your tier. I just want to put some stuff on there that if you're a Patreon member that you can have access to. So any ideas from you guys, start sending them to me. And if you're a radio or you're watching us on YouTube, send us ideas, post them, email them, do whatever you want, tweet them, whatever, Instagram. In our Instagram page where you can watch reels, you let us know and we'll get some content on there. What do you guys think?
I think I'm going to start, all the little crazy stuff that I make up, I think I'm going to start putting over on Patreon, because those would be the ones that would get it.
The cool videos that Dustin makes that you guys don't get to see. He makes these really cool things using After Effects and I don't know, deep fakery that I can't grasp. Yeah. And also in the future, we're going to be switching platforms, and it's a very slow process. Switching
networks, right? Yeah,
not platforms, but switching networks. We're going to be leaving the one that we're presently on and going to a new one. And I need to just get off my ass and work on that. But I did add the guy as a friend on Facebook, so I'm going to ask him what to do, and then we'll go from there. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat, and they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. I can start, I guess. We can all talk about the Tomorrow War since we all watched. Did you guys like the Tomorrow War?
I dug it.
I did too.
Dustin? Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I mean, it is what it is. It wasn't by any means the greatest cinema, but you could see that had there not been a pandemic and people were still excited about going to movie theaters, that would have been a big blockbuster.
Yeah, to me, it seemed like a, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way, but it seemed like a dumbed down Interstellar.
Yeah, it did have an Interstellar feel to it. For sure.
Yeah, the father leaving to save, but it took, the love of his daughter to, make everything happen and come together.
What's the Tom Cruise time loop movie that came out a couple years ago?
Well, it had a couple of names. It changed names, which was the weirdest thing for a movie to do.
Really?
Live, Die, Repeat is what it is now, but it was Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow. That's the one I watched. I didn't watch Live, Die, Repeat, but I know it felt a little bit like that too. But it did have a little bit of an Interstellar. But Interstellar is a little but it is more erudite and it's more filmy and cinematic and all this. This was just a fun, popcorn movie. And
it was a NASCAR version.
Yeah. Hey, go fuck you, man. Shit. Chris Pratt.
It was all filmed before the pandemic too.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, they should have put, I'm glad they didn't put it out last year. Chris Pratt, I find him to be pretty much likable on anything. He's just a cool dude. I think he's a fun actor. He makes a movie fun. What is her name? Yvonne Strahovski.
Yvonne Strahovski. Yeah.
She plays his grown up daughter from the future. She's also better known as Selena on the show, Handmaid's Tale. And a lot of people were in that movie. I just found it to be fun. And there were no messages in this. It's just, let's kill these aliens that look like, what was his name? Paul?
Yeah, Paul from Aqua Teen.
Hey, it looks like that. If you're familiar with Aqua Teen Hunger Force, there was Carl's house is being destroyed by this giant monster. And he's angry because his wife left him. I think these monsters look just like him. Who else? J.K. Simmons was in it. He did a pretty good job playing Chris Pratt's father. J.K.
He looked ripped.
Yeah, he did. He's all ripped. He's got a beard. And if you're going to try to grow a beard, grow a beard. Mary Lynn Ricecup is in it.
Sam Richardson.
For a very short time.
Detroiters, and I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Uh-huh. I just thought all around it was an enjoyable film. I mean, it got a little laggy there toward the end, but the resolution was good, and I won't spoil it for you. But those were interesting creatures. It was very, very sad to see Mary Lynn Ricecup's very short role. It's very Chloe-esque in this number 25.
And there was no after credit scene or anything to try and set up a sequel.
No.
Well, I mean, I think the whole purpose of the movie was to not have a sequel.
Right.
That would kind of defeat what he did. But I thought it, coming from the guy who directed the Lego Batman movie, that was his last big thing. And Robot Chicken. He did Robot Chicken too. Yeah. So going from that to this big scale, big sci-fi movie, I think it did a really good job. It touched on some new things, which were kind of neat for time travel movies. It's really hard to find a niche that's original. And that was kind of a neat concept, especially, opening scene.
Floating in the river.
Yeah, yeah. I like when there's rules for the time travel.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they have to set parameters and then, follow it. But I thought, the beginning of the movie where, they come into the soccer stadium you know, the opening, that was an awesome way to do it. But man, I don't know what would happen. I mean, you know, if that happened in real life, it'd be one thing for people to appear, but it's another thing for people with lots of guns to appear in the middle of a stadium and then nothing, you know, nothing happened to them.
From the future.
Yeah, right.
Fuck you. You know, yeah. And we need to take a bunch of you to the future with us to fight a war. Get off my lawn, you fuck.
Yeah, that was the part that you had to suspend your disbelief that the entire world would band together to send everybody.
Yeah, first of all, Alex Jones would be, these people aren't from the future. They're projected by satellites, and what they're doing is they're taking you and they're taking your essence and they're giving it to vaccine. They're making vaccines out of you. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that would have happened. And then you'd be QAnon to be like, they're not real. They're not real, you know? So you wouldn't be impossible taking social media into account to do what they did, unless, of course, they, you know, took over and whatever. But all around, I got to give it a good review. I think that, again, now the acting, the special effects were good. And if you haven't seen it, give it a chance. It's on what, Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, Prime.
Yeah, it's Prime exclusive.
And this I got to give Dustin props for. I'm not really a network TV kind of guy. I don't watch shows, but Evil really captured me. I thought that was an interesting show from the very first episode. So Evil on CBS. I finished the first season. It's so easygoing of a show with an interesting premise and competent acting. And it's very CBS formulaic, CSI, but I can't say her name. Katja Herbers is in it. She's really good. Mike Coulter, who was on, what was that? Power Man, was it?
Yeah. Luke Cage.
Luke Cage. Why do I say Iron Fist? I feel stupid.
Well, Power Man and Iron Fist. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Luke Cage, though, right? Or is Luke Cage? Okay, forget me. If I'm sounding.
He was
Iron Fist. Season 2 is on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, it's Paramount Plus. This is what they've moved from CBS. They've moved it to.
Well, you can watch the first season on Netflix. Season 2 is on Paramount Plus, and they say the F word in the first episode, so I know that they're on there. Michael Emerson is great. He's playing a similar character to his Lost character.
He's a good one to hate.
Yeah, I know. He's awesome. Christina Latti, who's a very good actress, pretty much like her in anything she's ever been in. I can't say, I feel so stupid. I got to say his name, Asif Mandvi.
The grounded one, yeah.
Yeah, but he was on The Daily Show. He was a fantastic correspondent there, and I feel like an idiot for not saying his name right. So don't come after me or cancel me, please. I don't mean it to be in a bad thing. Katja Herbers was in a movie, a creepy horror movie where, you know, she's being followed by somebody she'd met at a date or whatever. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Katja is a Dutch actress, and she's been in an awful lot of
just in Westworld.
She's in a lot of TV. She was on Westworld. She played Emily Grace. Mm-hmm. She was on The Americans, which means she played a Russian. Interesting show if you're into that sort of thing. And I'm going to stop rambling now.
Asif Mandvi.
Okay, thank you. I started watching a show on Netflix. Speaking of Europeans, this is a Swedish Icelandic show set in Iceland. It's called Katla, about a volcano, super volcano in Iceland that went up and you know, erupted. And it's a year later, and people that have been dead are starting to come back. And it's a really weird show, but it's beautiful. The only thing I don't like about it is that it's English overdubs. I want to hear the real language and all that, but it's okay. You can get around it. Whenever they speak Swedish, they actually speak Swedish with the closed captioning. So, but it's an interesting show. Have you checked it out? Anybody?
It looks similar to, or I've heard people mention too, that it's kind of similar to Dark.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very much inspired by Dark.
Yeah. And I saw the previews. It looked really cool. And there's a lot of those. I usually know that something will be good because on YouTube, you'll see a lot of explaining the ending of things. You know, usually those are ones that are at least written well enough, or, you know, enough to where you have to think about it and it's not just mindless, you know, entertainment. So those are the ones I enjoy. So I'm definitely going to check that one out. I just hadn't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, it's visually beautiful. Let's see. Below Deck Med just started. So we're up to season six, but we're up to episode 2.
Where are they? Is it during the pandemic?
It is. They're in off of the coast of Croatia.
And they're getting tourists, even though the pandemic's going on.
Yeah, there's always rich white douchebags that can afford to rent a yacht. And boy, the first people on the yacht, the first people who rented the yacht, boy, they're complete douchebags. I mean, it's usually the case. You know, it's like, they have a chef with anxiety problems who hurt his knee in the first episode. So they don't have a chef to cook, and they all have to cook, and it ends up being crappy like you would expect. But everybody's wearing masks, and they can't get a replacement cook because they have the 2-week quarantine thing going on.
Okay.
So that's why it plays into it. There's another show on Netflix that I just happened to see, and I checked out the first episode today. It's called This Is Pop. It's examining pop, the history of pop music, like popular top 40, top 10 type of music. And the first one I watched was, of course, Stockholm Syndrome. And it's about how Sweden is pretty much responsible for every pop song in the last 40, 50 years. They, you know, kick it off with ABBA. Okay. They kick it off with ABBA. And then, you know, after ABBA, you had Ace of Base, you had Roxette. And then I didn't know this, but there was a producer named Dennis Pop who owned Sherion Studios, whatever. But they wrote and produced songs for Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, NSYNC, Pink, all these huge acts. So, you know, Sweden, very influential in the pop music world. And it was a good show. You know all the songs, you know. But they have different genres. It's all about pop music. There's one on autotune. So I happen to enjoy that. Did you guys hear about that at all?
Mm-mm. I've seen the preview for it on Netflix, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's see. I finished Alone, and I started season 8 of Alone, and I'm all caught up. All caught up. Now I'm just waiting for Thursday night for episode 6.
That is an impressive run to watch all those seasons of Alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some dedication.
Well, I started it the week that we brought Gilbert home from the hospital.
There are only 10 episodes per season, but still, they're 10-hour long episodes. So.
Yeah. So
you got like 75 hours.
On top of other things. But at first, that's all I was watching. But this season's interesting. They've tampered with the format of the show every season. And I think they finally settled on a groove. They have her name, but she was on season 6 and she had left. She's kind of doing recaps with people as they tap out. I think that's more interesting than last season. They had some muscle bound guy. Hey, let's talk about
that was Colby from Survivor.
Yeah, I'm glad he's not around anymore. But this guy that, and Jeff commented, I said, I want a nose bone. A guy made his own nose thing. You're not allowed to bring jewelry with you. So he found a bone and he made a nose thing and he put it in his nose. I'm like, this guy sucks. But since I typed that into the document the other day, I like him. He swam across the lake. He's kind of cool. I dig him. So you say he's awesome. Kind of good. Huh?
I think he could win. He's got plenty of meat like on himself stored up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he could starve the longest out of everybody.
But you think about this show. Now, if you're not familiar with the premise of Alone, first of all, it's on the History Channel. I'm a latecomer to the show. Jeff's been talking about it since we started the podcast. People are taken to a remote place, usually where it's cold, and they're dropped off, and they can only bring 10 items with them. And then they have to live off the land and survive, and then they win a huge, you know, amount of money.
The person that lasts the longest wins.
Yeah, the person who lasts the longest doesn't tap out. Wins $500,000. The last season they did $1 million.
Yeah.
Fuck. Hang on a second. I completely forgot what I was going to say, and I don't.
Well, they separate the people by like 20, they drop them off like 25 miles from each other.
Right.
Everyone's got their own little area where they're like, I think they're geofenced in where they can't go past a certain boundary because they could run into somebody else. They're literally alone. Like if you watch some of those other survival shows like Naked and Afraid, there's a camera crew and a producer and, you know, and director that's there off camera. You know, if some shit goes really wrong, that there's somebody there to help them.
Right.
But with Alone, they're literally alone and they're their own camera people. I mean, they get checked in on every once a week at least.
Yeah, it's every 5 days or something. They do a wellness check. Yeah. Well, so they don't talk. That's they don't talk to them or anything. I mean, they literally
show up and say, okay, you're fine or whatever.
And then leave.
The thing I remembered is this most recent season, a guy who built this elaborate log cabin. It's beautiful. And he tapped out in episode 5 or 4 or whatever. Right. Like, you do all that, and then you're like, ah, fuck it, I want to leave. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, that's and there's been a few times, like, when was there not a season that they had two people? Like, it was,
yeah, there was one where you could bring,
yeah, you could bring somebody,
another,
or yeah, family, yeah, member or a friend. Yeah,
and there was a husband and wife that made a really nice cabin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once the cabin was done, it was like there was no more drive for them to stay anymore. So it's kind of like, you know, any of those guys that build those big elaborate things, once it's done, they, yeah, don't know what to do, and it kind of freaks them out. Most of those end up tapping out just out of loneliness.
Everyone wants them to do an All-Stars where they take the winners from all the seasons and drop them in, but they're only on season 8 now, so they, yeah, have to do 2 more seasons before they can do it. And then, you know, once these people have won all this money, do they want to go back and do it again?
I think the winner from season 6 would. I mean, that guy was awesome. The one that lived with the nomadic people in, yeah, Mongolia or whatever. And he's from, you know, he was on Rogan. He came on there. He was talking about how him and his brother would like ride trains across the country.
Right.
And that was their way of getting from town to town, and they would stop and have a job. So, I mean, people like that are nomadic and yeah, that's what they do. He could have stayed there for 2 years and would have.
That's how I felt about Roland last season.
Roland would have made it.
He could have lasted a year out there if they hadn't ended it.
The Royal.
What's the longest? What's the longest that someone's been out? I think
it's like 90 days.
No, you had to make it 100 days to win the $1 million.
Oh, was that what? Yeah.
If you find that Rogan episode or whatever, send me a link. I can go find it. Yeah,
I'll send you.
My staff pick is Dark Side of the 90s. It's Vice Network doing one of their documentaries, picking up on the dark side of the ring and dark side of football. This is Dark Side of the 90s, and it starts the 15th of July. So that's my stuff.
All right. I watched Loki last week's. I haven't watched this week's yet. I got on a little bit of a Elizabeth Banks tear. I heard her on.
I see that.
Smartless. She was on Smartless podcast with Jason Bateman and Will Arnett, Sean Hayes. And so I started watching Press Your Luck. I had a few of them saved up on the DVR. That's a fun game. And I find myself rooting for the whammy. Like when these people are.
Hi.
They're getting like $75,000 and they get all these prizes and cars and shit.
Uh-huh.
And the whammy comes and just takes everything. It's fucking hilarious.
Do they use the old school whammies?
Yeah, they it's very much those Savage Steve Howland whammies that he did back for the original show, but I don't think he's doing them now. But yeah, it's the same little animations and stuff. They're funny. Let's see. I watched No Sudden Move on HBO Max. That's a Benicio del Toro.
Steven Soderbergh movie, right?
Steven Soderbergh movie. It's basically Steven Soderbergh does Fargo.
Yeah.
A season of Fargo in a 2-hour movie.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was very good.
Okay, I want to check it out. But then I saw you guys talking about it. I'm like, oh, I might want to watch this. And then I saw Soderbergh directed it. So it's either going to be really good or really boring.
No, it was really good. I wasn't bored at all.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
You're not going to steer us astray.
I watched that other Sam Richardson movie that came out on video on demand, Werewolves Within.
How was that? I almost rented it.
It was funny, but not as funny as I wanted it to be for the money that I paid for it.
Yeah.
I thought it should have been funnier. Yeah. If it was free, I probably would have liked it a lot more.
It was the comedy guised as a horror movie, or was it more of a straightforward comedy?
It wasn't really much of a horror movie. It was kind of more like a whodunit.
Oh, okay.
Like trying to figure out who the werewolf is. Of all these people, kind of like Clue, sort of like
Clue and Silver Bullet.
Yeah. And it's worth seeing. I don't know if it's worth paying $10 for, but it's coming out. It'll come out on one of the streaming services in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe wait for it. I watched on July 4th. I watched America, the motion picture on Netflix, that the cartoon that's like supposed to be like the making of America.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. The George Washington, Abe Lincoln are buddies, and they're fighting against Benedict Arnold.
Really?
And King George.
Isn't there like a chainsaw fight or something?
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy. Like there's Transformers and shit.
Yeah, it looked like Venture Brothers Animation
Yeah, it does look like that Venture Brothers style.
Yeah.
It's made by the guy that makes Archer. It's definitely funny and worth watching. Let's see what else I watched. Olive, I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, season two. Fucking hilarious. I'm going to watch the whole season one and season two again.
It's so funny.
Oh, and I started listening to the Quentin Tarantino book, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Does he narrate it?
No, it's read by Jennifer Jason Leigh, and it's good.
I like her. I would have been better had he read it, but okay.
I don't know if I could listen to Quentin Tarantino for 10 hours or whatever.
That was the first thing I asked too, Tim, when I saw it. I was like, did he read it? But I did it for the opposite reason. Yeah, I couldn't stand listening to him for 10 hours talking out of his mind.
So what is it, Jeff? I mean, he talked about it quite a bit on the Rogan, and I'm sure on the WTF with Mark Maron. But what? So it's a novelization, like an old school.
Yeah, it's a novelization, and so far I've only listened to an hour of it, but mm-hmm. It's all just been that one scene in the movie where that agent guy is telling him, you know, you got to do this with your career, you're going to end up like this, and you don't want to be the bad guy showing up on these sitcoms and getting beaten up by the hero of the day or whatever. The whole first hour is that scene, but it's all the shit that's going on inside Rick Dalton's head.
Okay.
So you're getting a ton of backstory and character development and exposition and stuff.
Cool.
So I'm gonna keep listening to it. I think it's good so far. A lot of people are coming down on it, but I've enjoyed the first hour anyway. People are saying, you know, keep making movies, don't write books, but
fuck that.
Yeah, you know, people just wanted to make more Quentin Tarantino movies, and I think he's gonna. Did he say on Rogan?
He said he's gonna make his 10th film when he gets ready to make his 10th film.
Mark Maron, he said that whole thing about he's only making one more movie was taken out of context, and he'll make as many movies as he wants to make.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think he meant one more that was the caliber of what, you know, followed his his flow of movies that he's made so far. But yeah, I see him. I would hope he would branch off into TV more, like some series or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Alone, we've already talked about. My staff pick is going to be Leverage Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Starts this Friday. So yesterday, if you're listening on Saturday, on IMDb TV, which is, you can get it on Amazon, part of Prime. You just got to do a search for it. But remember that show, Leverage?
Yeah.
It was a really good show.
Timothy
Hutton.
Yeah.
He's not on this one. I guess he's been canceled. He's replaced by Noah Wiley.
Why was he canceled?
I think there was some Me Too business with him.
Hutton?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, so he's not going to be on this one. And he may be missed, but I like Noah Wiley. I've always liked him since ER.
All right. Leverage Redemption, IMDb TV or .tv.
Yeah.
Well, great. Dustin, what you got?
Well, I didn't watch that much, and everything I've watched, we've already talked about Tomorrow War, Evil, which, you know, I'm up to the episode 3 of Evil in the second season. And they take the second season a little differently than the first, as far as the George, the demon.
Yeah.
Kind of narrates the beginnings and ends of every episode.
I see that they have the little pop-up booklet and the animation. I like.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Are they releasing them one at a time?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to watch them once a week.
Let me get caught up and then we can continue. Well, we can really talk about it a lot more. I got behind you 2 episodes, but once I do, we can really dive into season 2 if you want.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. And Loki, I've watched the most recent one, the penultimate. So there's only one more left, and it's really good. It's rounding up to a good story, and all of the stuff that didn't make sense is starting to make sense. And in this most recent episode, there is an amazing amount of Easter eggs almost everywhere you look, and they're visual Easter eggs. I mean, you almost have to just look for them, but there's so much, so many places you can pause and see things that it's just kind of like a comic book nerd's dream. All these little things you never thought you would see in a series, and they're popping up even for just a split second or just in passing. But they're really doing the fan service to all the comic book nerds for sure. And we got one more of those. So, you know, we'll talk about that one, Jeff, when it's finished by next week. And my staff pick is, it's still a little ways off. It's the end of the month, or 1st of August, they're going to put out, Val on Prime. It's a documentary on Val Kilmer.
Yeah, I just got a preview for this today. It looks really good.
Yeah, what's amazing is as early as Top Gun and even before, he hires and brings in a full camera crew to document him while he's making these movies. So he's got thousands and thousands of hours of film of back behind the scenes stuff. And what these two directors that came in, they had to digitize 2,000 hours of film. And he's got some 16 millimeter. Mm-hmm. They said he had over 200 hours on the Red Planet alone. So what they're doing is they put together this movie called Val, which is basically a story of his life and everything that he's gone through, you know, with his throat cancer and the surgeries and recovering. But he started doing this well before any of that. So it really, you'll get to see a really good slice of his life. And they say that he's a lot different than what people perceived him to be. So I'm really excited about it, and it'll be out in the theaters on the 2nd of August, but then on Prime on the 6th of August.
I love Val Kilmer, so I'll check that out. Yep. All right. Thank you, Dustin. Before we wrap, we have to say rest in peace, who died, to director Richard Donner. And if you are alive and you like movies, you've seen a Richard Donner film. He's done so many different things, Lethal Weapon and Superman being among them. Goonies, but the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. Fantastic. The best Superman movie, I believe, out of all of them is the first one.
But do you remember that show with Jan Michael Vincent that was a part of, I don't know what it was. There was like a serial show where they were on the island and the natives were chasing them around. That was original.
Oh, with the dinosaurs?
No, but there were like cave people and they would go, uh-oh, Chango.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It had dinosaurs on it, didn't it?
I don't remember any dinosaurs, but it's possible.
What was it called?
Danger Island, I think, or Terror Island, something like that.
Wow. I don't remember. I mean, I remember that show, and I remember Uh-Oh, Chango, but I didn't know he had anything to do with it.
And Michael Vincent, yeah.
His TV credits from the 60s, Route 66, The Rifleman, The Twilight Zone, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Gilligan's Island, Perry Mason, and The Wild Wild West. Let's see. He did, can you imagine how horrible this movie is? Crime comedy from 68 called Salt and Pepper with Sammy Davis Jr. and Peter Lawford. You get 10% or 20% of the Rat Pack, and not even Peter Lawford. He did The Omen. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was him.
The Omen being great, and a horrible remake made in the 2000s with Ray Donovan. Anyway, rest in peace, Richard Donner. Also, Robert Downey Sr., 85 years old, passed away. He was a filmmaker and an actor, father of Robert Downey Jr. So rest in peace to him as well.
It was on Banana Splits. They would have those little interstitial things.
That's on the
Banana Splits show. Yep. And that was called Danger Island.
Uh-oh, John.
Yeah.
Oh, Banana Splits. Hey, I want everybody to, before we wrap up the show, remember to, if you're looking for a pet, dog or a cat, remember to adopt and don't shop. Go to barkvilledogrescue.org, barkvilledogrescue.org. That's Stephanie's organization that she does a lot of volunteering for. And speaking of which, I went to the last Caffeine and Octane at Perimeter Mall, and my goodness, there are thousands of people there. It was amazing to see, and all those cool old cars. You can walk around, especially if it's a nice day. And this previous Sunday, which was the 4th of July, actually, it was very, very cool, and the weather was nice. So it was fun, but it was nice to see all these people out, you know, and you can sample coffee. There's food trucks, and you can pet some dogs. I met a dog that had a penis problem. It wouldn't retract, but I think it's all better now.
That was just you.
Yeah, it was just me. So I hear Gilbert crying, and I think it's time to go feed him. So I am going to keep working on my Jeff Goldblum. Got some good advice from Roby on how to do that. So until next time, please remember to
keep it canon.
All right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, you know, in a couple of months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up and you get yourself a T-shirt, and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
Days to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016. And Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll. And then he gave it to me. And I think, and I can't wait to scare my child one. okay. By the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm going to do. You got Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew, Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS. And he had it put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so you can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ Spit of the Hits for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely's been around since November of 2019. And you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018, and Buck Monterey been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
patreon.com/Tim Andrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And now back to baby stuff.